Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Sundays in Lent are powerful, aren't they? Every gospel has Jesus going to battle against our enemies for us, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. The demons came out in full force after Jesus began his ministry. But in every confrontation, Jesus defeated them. He took on the head demon, Satan, in the gospel 2 weeks ago as the devil tempted him in the wilderness and defeated him. He defeated the demon in last week's gospel by casting out the demon from the Canaanite woman's daughter without even needing to be in the same room with the demon or speak directly to the demon. He did it effortlessly. And today, again, we see Jesus casting out the demon that held that man captive and unable to speak. Except for the demons that Jesus cast out during his ministry, the Bible really doesn't say all that much about them. They're powerful spirit creatures, far less powerful than God, but far more powerful than any man. They were created as angels to serve God, but they soon rebelled against God and chose vice over virtue and rebellion over service. So they were condemned, but not yet sent away to their eternal punishment, which will happen on the last day. For now, they roam about the world somewhat freely. Though still bound by God's hand, like pit bulls on a leash, so that they can go as far as God lets them go, but no farther. They continue to plague humanity by God's permission, because Adam and Eve, our first parents, gave them that right when they submitted to the demon in the Garden of Eden. As St. Peter warns in his first epistle, your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But the tactics of the demons have changed over the centuries. Outright possession was common in Jesus' day, but we don't hear about it being common before that or after that. Over time, the demons found greater success using less overt tactics, hiding their existence from mankind, quietly influencing the political realm with all manner of wicked policies and wicked behavior in the governments of the world. We see it every day as true justice is replaced with tyranny, lawlessness, and persecution of Christianity. They quietly influence religions with all manner of false doctrine. We see it every day in both subtle and not so subtle false teachings that mask the truth of Christ and make it harder and harder to find. They quietly influence society in general with all manner of deception and temptation and blindness, both intellectual and spiritual. We see it every day in people's hatred and animosity, and in their readiness to believe anything except for the Word of God. St. Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 6 that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Well, that's a daunting wrestling match. What hope do we have against these powerful spirits, these rulers of the darkness of this age? They are very strong, but Jesus is stronger. Even now, they must obey him. Even now, they must follow his commands. In today's gospel, we learn to flee to the one who is stronger than the strong man. We begin with Jesus casting out another demon in our gospel, doing what no one else had been able to do. Like his other miracles, this was meant to prove to the people of Israel that their Christ had finally come. Jesus wasn't just a little bit different from every other prophet and every other preacher and teacher who had come before him. He was utterly unique in his power and in his preaching. But the Pharisees hated Jesus so much that they were able to find fault with everything he did. That's what hatred does to people. It drives them insane. It causes a mental and spiritual derangement, if you will. It causes them to find fault where there is no fault, and malice where there is no malice. He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. They claim that Beelzebub, the ruler of the flies, Satan himself, had given Jesus power over Satan's own demons. Well, that's not only blasphemy, it's nonsense, as Jesus points out. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Well, Satan's kingdom most definitely does stand. The only way Satan's kingdom falls, according to Scripture, is for the seed of the woman, the Christ, to crush his head, as God foretold already in Genesis chapter 3. Satan's kingdom must stand until the Christ comes. Satan can't be sending his demons to torment people on the one hand and at the same time helping Jesus to cast out the demons who are doing the tormenting on the other hand. So it's senseless to talk about Jesus casting out demons by Satan's power. Jesus has another question for those who seek a sign from heaven. If I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? I think it's clear from the context that the answer to that question is our sons don't cast them out. Our sons, our followers, for as much as they try, can't cast out demons at all. They had to admit, you're the only one doing this, Jesus. And if that's true, then either God is not working through Jesus or through anyone to help his people against the demons, or if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Finally, the one who is stronger than the demons has come. That's the point Jesus illustrates in the parable of the strong man. The devil is like a strong man, fully armed, guarding his own palace. No one gets in. No one can take his possessions away from him. They're his to own, his to control. Such are the people trapped in the devil's kingdom. That's not only a reference to those who are actually possessed by demons, but to all people who are born into the world. St. John writes in his first epistle, "He who sins is of the devil." There's only one way out of the devil's kingdom. Someone stronger than the devil has to overcome him and take away his armor and free those who are trapped in his house. As Jesus said in John chapter 8, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Or as John wrote again in his epistle, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." That's what Jesus did for the possessed by casting out demons. That's what Jesus has done for all people by coming into the world and by shedding his blood on the cross. He has invaded the devil's house, the devil's kingdom here on earth. and he has opened the way into his own heavenly kingdom. A grand rescue mission to lead the captives out. Come with me, he says. Come into my kingdom of grace. The way is open through the forgiveness of sins. Believe in me and be released from the devil. Believe in me, and even now the devil won't be able to harm you. But there are some warnings in our gospel too. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. If you don't want to go with Jesus out of the devil's kingdom, then you remain the devil's slave. If you don't want to work with Jesus to gather other people out of the devil's kingdom, then you are and remain the devil's ally. There are only two sides in this great struggle. If you won't have Jesus for a king, then you will have the devil. This is the danger and the warning for the one who doesn't want to become a Christian in the first place, like the Pharisees, like many of the Jews in Jesus' day, and like too many people still today. Another warning follows. When a person is baptized and becomes a Christian, the demon is cast out, in a sense. Not that the person was necessarily possessed by a demon, but that the person was previously owned by the devil and is now owned by Christ Jesus, rescued from the devil's kingdom and brought into the kingdom of Christ. But the demon doesn't just leave that person alone, and that's the little story Jesus tells. It goes back after it's been cast out to see if the person it previously owned is available again. Either the person's heart is occupied with the Word of God and with faith and with the Holy Spirit, or it's vacant. And if it's vacant, swept clean, then the demon will go back, and he'll take his demon friends with him and make things even worse for that person. This is the danger for the Christian who falls away. Finally, a warning and encouragement for those who remain Christians. As Jesus spoke these things, a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." But he said more than that, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." More than that. In other words, don't think of it that way. The one who bore Jesus was indeed blessed. But the blessing of God wasn't reserved for her alone. All who hear and keep God's word are declared blessed by Jesus. Think about that. You have the promise of the one who is stronger than the demons, that by hearing and keeping his word, as you're doing right now, you will be blessed by God. Not necessarily in a worldly way, but in all the ways that matter. So flee to the stronger man for refuge, and you will be blessed, even with protection against the demons, even with the forgiveness of sins, even with help for this life, even with hope for the next. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.